Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the middle of the night, like, don't think, oh, I've got better turn on the light or go in the bathroom. Like,
right.
I know this is a weird thing. This may be TMI, but when I get up in the middle of the night because I have to pee, I go in the dark.
Yep.
I don't want to risk. I have so many sleep issues that I just don't want to risk it. So
yep.
Unless I'm like super sick, I am dark peeing.
So
this is an interesting dark pee.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else dark pee?
Oh gosh, yeah. Sounds really weird and gross. That's
a whole nother issue. So pee darking. This is the weirdest thing, and I don't know if it helps or not, but usually when I get up to go to the bathroom in the night, I keep one eye closed.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a exciting and intriguing episode all about... You see what I did there?
I see what you did there. I thought you were going to say something like, we've got a podcast today that's not going to put you to sleep.
Ah, okay, because we're talking about sleep in today's podcast for all those really bad puns, if anybody's still listening.
they're like, and off.
Yes, exactly. I think this is just a sign that we hang out with Ella way too much because we just do silly stuff to make her laugh. So
yeah, we're getting goofier by like the day.
Sorry to all the adults out there. But yes, we do have a really interesting episode about the importance of sleep and some dispelling some myths that you guys might think about in regards to sleep health.
Yep.
Sleep hygiene, I guess that's a phrase that's used nowadays. Sleep hygiene? I think so.
Never heard that.
All right. Well,
okay.
We're going to tell you
about now something. It's something.
Mm-hmm. I just,
coined it.
TM. Trademark. All right. So before we jump into that, guys, you know we have an ATF podcast challenge going on right now. And the first challenge, we did two. We do a fitness one and a diet one. The fitness one is doing yoga every day. For everyone who doesn't know the slang, like me. The diet challenge for the month of September, I don't know why I keep getting wrong.
Keep saying October.
I know, but September is, what is it again?
It's the cooking three meals at home each week.
That's right, correct. So we want you guys to get a little bit more, not creative, but a little bit more dedicated to being in the kitchen.
I think that's a good way to describe it. Of like make a little effort on the old culinary education. Put a little more effort into your food prep because you'd be surprised if you are actually investing a bit more time in the preparation of your food. You might actually stop to enjoy your food more mm-hmm. as well. And that is a good eating habit.
Yeah. And you do a pretty good job of paying attention to what kind of ingredients are in your food.
Yeah.
You know? So we want to let you guys know that there is a little reward for you, for a certain someone that does these ATF podcast challenges. We have a recovery pack, another recovery pack that we're going to send it out to a certain lucky individual that sends us some of their progress or lets us know what their progress is with this month's challenges by hashtagging ATF Podcast Challenge.
Yes.
You guys can also connect with us on the ATF Facebook page, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Leave us a little message there. Show us what you guys are doing or just let us know, hey, I've done this type of yoga flow this day, this many days, and I cook these kinds of meals Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Something like that. Just connect with us. So that's what we're looking
either
for.
Either post a review or post on either Instagram or our Facebook mm-hmm. page with the hashtag so that we know that you did the challenge. And share some feedback with us. You don't even have to say you did the whole challenge. You could just say, hey, I gave it a shot for a week, and it sucked. Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, we just want a little participation and a little feedback, guys, because you can be...
You get a prize.
Yeah, you get entered in a chance to win our recovery pack, which includes Epsom salts, powdered collagen, and Perform Better mini bands, okay? It's a great recovery pack. Three items that we use ourselves to help us recover.
Regularly.
So, we believe in it. That's why we want to share it with you guys. So, training recaps for this week. You want to go first?
Sure, it's quick. I have been sick with a crappy cold for the last 3 weeks. every week I still try. I still make an effort, and I usually do at least one cardio workout to test and see if I can blow out this horrible chest cold that's now also sitting in my head. I have not been successful yet, but I'm thinking the next week will be my week. It has to be, because this is getting absurd. But I do feel like mildly, over the last couple of days, I felt mild improvements.
Good.
So, but it's the fact that I will say I've kept trying, like take the dog for a run, do some HIIT workouts in the dog park because there's barely ever anybody there at that hour in the morning.
Yeah, Monday morning. People don't want to go to that dog park.
Monday and Wednesdays. Yeah. Yeah. And mornings, I think they just wait till later or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's pretty much been my attempt. It's mostly just been like as I go.
Yeah.
Not a lot of dedicated, like, separate out some time. I've been doing mostly like the meditation aspects of my yoga every day. And I've been pretty good. I don't think I've covered every single day. Definitely no. But I have definitely improved, you know. Little baby steps.
Nice. My training is kind of picked up as of late. I'm really focusing on getting 4 days of heavy weightlifting in a row. Trying a little kind of 3-week cycle with both weightlifting and my nutrition. So I'm trying to go in back and forth between two different 3-week cycles. So, but it includes a lot of weightlifting. So. Doing days are include upper body, lower body, and core. So anywhere from 60 to 70 minute workouts whenever I can, if I have that much time. I get that in. And sometimes it's broken up into two parts in case I have clients coming in. So, all the kind of the bodybuilding stuff you would imagine, bench press, dumbbell rows, you know, tricep pull downs, bicep curls, deadlifts, squats, all that stuff. So all that good stuff. And as regard to the ATF podcast challenge, I think I've done down dogs every day this month so far. So that's my part of yoga. In addition to some other mobility movements that kind of would be considered yoga moves too.
Because
I definitely, that's with this new weightlifting routine, I'm trying to stay as, you know, loose and as mobile as possible in order to keep going with this kind of routine. So
loosey goosey.
That's exactly right. Nice. So yeah, so that's our training recap. So let's get into the topic at hand, and that is sleep, guys. That's something when everybody, I think, kind of talks about, whether it be, you know, trying to lose weight or trying to gain muscle or perform better. One thing that's always kind of requirement from all those things is good sleep.
Yeah.
And I think, and obviously, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think another reason why your sickness or your cold is being prolonged is because just having so much trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
I know that's not helping you kind of let your body recover to kick it out, you know? It's such a bummer. And a lot of people, according to a couple of the articles that we are looking at, are really lacking sleep. So we found this Mind Body Green article. Title of it is "Want Better Sleep? Don't Believe These 3 Sleep Myths We Just Busted." So according to this article, the CDC thinks that generally adults need at least 7 hours of sleep each night for their bodies to properly function and stay healthy. So one of the very first myths in regards to sleep that this article tries to bust, according to them, is that you can always catch up on your sleep on weekends.
I remember like thinking this in high school. Like I remember living by this rule pretty much in high school.
Dude, maybe high school college. And college for sure. Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's fine. I'll just do pull an all-nighter. I'll catch up on my sleep tomorrow.
Yes, I know. Yeah, our bodies were much more forgiving back then. Now it's not. It's the chickens have come home to roost, and fortunately they're not sleeping enough.
The eggs have hatched. Chickens have roost.
So they have an interesting article or an interesting point in the, under this title about catching up on your sleep on weekends is that it's important to remember that snoozing those extra hours later is not the same thing as getting a full night's sleep every night. Research has shown that it takes 4 days to fully recover from 1 hour of lost sleep. and trying to pay back chronic sleep debt can increase your likelihood of sleep deprivation symptoms affecting your quality of life.
Well, I think something else to remember is that, and this is not something I knew when I was in high school and college, is that there's like different levels of sleep that you have to, and like there's a process for you to get into it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, it's that really deep sleep, like that really deep sleep, the restorative REM sleep, mm-hmm. if you will.
You are looking ahead. Apparently. Keep going.
Go with it. I was just like that. That's like the most critical sleep, but you don't just fall asleep and fall into that. So if you're like, oh, it's okay, I can do 4 hours of sleep tomorrow in the middle of the day because I don't have classes or something like right. that. Well, guess what? You're probably still not going to get the same amount of REM sleep that you denied yourself the night before, and then the next day you're going to deny yourself, and that's why it's going to mess you up. Like, there is really no such thing as making it up.
Yeah, and that kind of segues into their next myth that they bust. You kind of just predicted, essentially, is that you can't train yourself to be a short sleeper. So those people that say, oh, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night. No, not true. You can basically hit it right on the head, is that those people cannot get into the deep REM sleep, unless I'm sure there's probably crazy exceptions of people that fall right into REM sleep, but it's very few and far between. Single digit percentage, yeah, exactly, probably. Right. According to the National Sleep Foundation, that nearly 70% of us aren't getting enough recommended hours of sleep on the reg.
I believe so.
That is a little bit scary, because CDC also said that sleepiness is a public health problem in 2018. So this is issues that lack of sleep can actually, they put a little, I think it's probably the next part when I was scanning through this, they talk about how people who don't get enough sleep are more susceptible to heart disease.
Yeah, they've tied it to
diabetes, all kinds of things. Yeah,
like dementia, Alzheimer's, all that kind of stuff. Absolutely,
we did an article. It's funny because we did an article about the link between irregular sleep and Alzheimer's.
Yep.
So that's a really scary thing. So don't think you can be one of those people that can run on 4 hours of sleep, because you cannot. In this portion of the article,
well, you can, but you're setting yourself up for some real bad problems.
Yeah, down the road you could be, like you said. Thank you. That's a good point. You could be setting yourself up for disaster down the road. In this portion of the article, and it's funny because, you know, Mind Body Green, they're sponsored by certain, companies, advertisers, thank you. Somebody in the advertising business should probably know that word. This article, I don't know if it's sponsored by Nature Made Vitamins, but they go with talking about melatonin part, and of course they reference Nature's Made Melatonin. So one thing I know about melatonin, or heard about melatonin, is that it can help you fall asleep, but it can't help you stay asleep. Or actually, I think it might be the other way around.
Yeah, it hasn't really ever been great for me for falling asleep.
I think, okay.
I used to take it.
Yeah.
I used to take, like, the little tablets. And I didn't really notice a huge difference. I just liked them because they had this slightly minty taste to them.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't notice a major difference.
Yeah, so the third myth that they bust in this article is that leaving the TV on is a harmless way to fall asleep. Yeah. So I know that's kind of
been blown to smithereens.
Yeah, and the blue light thing too, especially with screens. Like, I don't know, do TVs give out blue light too?
Yep.
Okay, so I think there's some. I think the newer ones kind of like have a mode on them where they can like eliminate blue light or something like that, or you get blue blockers. There's a lot of companies that offer glasses that, yeah, for work, right?
Yeah.
But they also have them for, like, laying in bed. Get some blue blockers to wear so you can eliminate the blue light. Or you just don't have to look at your phone. I know we like watching TV before we go to bed, but I think it's we're actually going to talk about that in the next article we talk we're going to reference, is what happens if you wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back asleep.
Yeah.
Because that's a problem with some people. So what is there are methods to use or to kind of to implore there are methods to use in order to help you go back to sleep instead of being up and having another short sleep cycle, you know, and, you know, leading to those problems. So
yeah,
we found this article on Wirecutter, which I thought was interesting. But it talks about how
it's a New York Times company.
Yeah. If you're wide awake at 3 a.m., don't just look at your phone. Boom, 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 boom. So that's what it says. The blue light, it's one of those things that actually blocks the production of melatonin, your own melatonin in your body, which will help, you know, kind of, like I said, I guess, counteract the feeling of trying to fall asleep. Because that's what melatonin tries to do. It tries to make you feel sleepy and, you know, syncs you up to your circadian rhythm. And blue light, according to studies, blocks that. So,
yeah, so they say stay in the dark. Mm-hmm. When you wake up in the middle of the night, like, don't think, oh, I've got better turn on the light or go in the bathroom. Like,
right.
I know this is a weird thing. This may be TMI, but when I get up in the middle of the night because I have to pee, I go in the dark.
Yep.
I don't want to risk. I have so many sleep issues that I just don't want to risk it. So
yep.
Unless I'm like super sick, I am dark peeing.
So this is an interesting
dark
thing.
Pee. Yep. Dark pee.
Yeah. Anybody else dark pee?
Oh gosh, that sounds really weird and gross. That's
a whole nother issue. So pee darking. This is the weirdest thing, and I don't know if it helps or not. But usually when I get up to go to the bathroom at night, I keep one eye closed.
Doesn't that throw off your aim?
It's terrible. No. Well, another thing is I sit down in the middle of the night.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then.
I don't know if it helps, but for some reason I feel like I'm still sleeping when I have one eye closed. So.
I've definitely like kept both eyes. I like will close both eyes when I'm going to the bathroom sometimes in the middle of the night because I don't want to disturb my sleep.
But I know this is another sign of me getting old. And they actually talk about it in this article, and they talk about how they actually reference a guy that I listened to on a podcast. They call him the sleep doctor, Michael. How would you say this? Michael Bruce. Okay. So, yeah, I think I mentioned him on a podcast recently. I heard him on the Kroll show. He talks about is if you don't have to get up to go to the bathroom or get up and then get out of bed, kind of like you were talking about, don't do it. You know, stay in bed for as much as you can. Now, if you're really kind of last-ditch effort, if you get up and go read a book or something like that, something very kind of relaxing to a certain extent, that would help. But try to stay in bed. That's what his recommendations are. So he also recommends not drinking before bed, which is I can attest to. It makes you feel more tired. Even though you fall asleep sooner, you definitely feel more tired the next day because your body's working on that alcohol.
Drinking alcohol.
Yes. So and as you said, stay in the dark. Get away from the blue lights. That's something. If you do that in the middle of the night, especially 3 a.m., it's going to be definitely not good. It's going to lessen your chances or reduce your chances of falling back to sleep. So
yeah.
Block out the noise. Now, that's something we use for Ella is the sound machine.
Yeah.
Did you ever contemplate using a sound machine in our room?
Never.
No?
I mean, I use the white noise apps. Like, sometimes I'll put, like, I don't know why, but the sound of fire, like, crackling fires or, like, rain. I think because I have really positive associations with it, it's, like, a really peaceful white noise for me.
I think so, too.
So, I mean, I know that's why they say, like, those things work really well because they block out all the unpredictable noises. Like, we live relatively close, not like a stone's throw, but definitely close enough to hear our highway near us. And there are sometimes, you know, cars that fly by. Sometimes there's, you know, people across the street having a party in the middle of the night or some doofus playing basketball. He almost died.
It only happened once.
He almost died. I was about to kill him.
True.
But all of those things, like if you have a white noise machine, it actually does just that consistent, like regular, constant sound. It just blocks all of that out and it allows your brain to just disconnect all that stimulus.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't actually keep you awake. It allows your brain to shut it off.
Yeah, that's my biggest thing with, like, falling asleep with the TV on. Because sometimes you have to pick something that is just, like, monotonous and something that we've seen 100 times
before. Yeah, we have to put something
almost,
on.
It's almost like white noise because, it's just, we don't, it doesn't challenge our, it doesn't hold our attention. You know, we can just be in the background and be monotonous. Now, if we just had to... big blue blocker in front of the TV screen, then we'd be really good to go. A couple other things they talk about. You wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and probably stuff you guys have heard about when it's trying to fall asleep is quiet your mind, do some meditation practices.
Tell you what to do with that recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. Meditation is just challenging. They had an interesting one, talked about doing math problems in your head, which is something that's, it's not quite far-fetched. Like, when I had used to have some bad or, you know, problems falling asleep, I would do things like that. I would constantly do multiplication tables, like, in my head and stuff to help me just get into a rhythm of just, like, mindless thought.
Quiet your mind. Yeah.
So that did help. And then, of course, they say, think positive.
Well, something else, because, they can just shove that last response. If you've ever been up in the middle of the night and you cannot get back to sleep, you will be with me in saying that they can shove it. But
Sorry. Go ahead.
You know the idea of counting sheep.
Yep.
So that kind of goes back to the quiet of your mind. But I have read some interesting articles, and there's actually something I was served an ad on, like, Instagram or something recently, and there's, like, a machine. So I know I talked about breathing techniques, but breathing actually is, like, a proven way to get you into a sleep state faster. So if you have trouble sleeping, there are now, like, machines that will project, like, a soft light, and, like, you just breathe with, like, the light. So it'll be one color, and then it'll, like, fade. And then it'll come back, and, like, you inhale and exhale. And the idea is that you inhale, but then you exhale a little bit longer than your inhale. And that switches your brain from that automatic, like, fight or flight kind of reactionary mode to the you're taking control and you're choosing to slow down. Like, what is it, the sympathetic to the parasympathetic? Or the, I always confuse them. But by taking control of that breathing, you actually override your automatic, like, brain thought waves. So you're able to fall into a deeper sleep faster.
So
that's another thing. Like, counting sheep might actually kind of be something that works if you tie it to breath.
Yeah, and the breath will lower your heart rate, which can help you kind of get into that sleep quicker. Like you said, it's all connected, because it's hard to fall asleep when your heart rate's elevated. So
Well, something else that you skipped, but I actually think is really important.
I agree, and there's a reason why I skipped it, because we have a powerful segue. One of the last things they mentioned here, we talked about think positive. I know you told them to shove it, but honestly, when I wake up in the middle of the night, say I have to use the bathroom, and I try not to look at my phone.
I actually do that too.
I get hung up, but sometimes I'll wake up and I'll look at my phone and I feel like I've been sleeping for hours. And I look at my phone, it's only been like a couple hours, and I still have like 4 hours before my alarm goes off. I'm so happy. Like, I fall back asleep, like, yes, I got 4 hours to fall back asleep.
Yeah, it's when you're like, I have 45 minutes.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I still like, oh, yes, I got 45 minutes. I have a positive outlook. All right. So, yes, go for it. Now, I know there is a reason why I have a powerful segue. The last recommendation they have.
The last recommendation. I am a firm believer in this. It's adjust the temperature. And no, we're not talking about sleep saunas here, folks. We're talking about lowering the temperature. If your room is feeling warm, lower your thermostat. Like, they actually say around 65 degrees. I'm giving, like, Nick an intense stare
right now.
Why are
you looking at me?
Fosters sleep.
I'm definitely for it. Oh, come on. I think you're worried about Ella's room getting too cold. I'm definitely for it.
But, like, the idea that temperature is a really important factor. Like, we learned a lot about this when Ella was a little baby, because they're like, oh yeah, you should, like, it should be like 68 degrees or something, or like, it was cold. It was like below 72, I think.
No.
Because we put, yeah.
I believe it was between 72 and 79 is what her room should be at all times, so we're told.
I don't think so. It was like colder than what her room could be at, because our room does not go below 72.
But yes, I agree. I think the cold.
But yeah, so there's, I have a, my godmother, love her, Jane. Don't know if you listen to this, but love you. She sleeps in an igloo. Like, I mean, I think it's
like an Eskimo.
I think it's like 50 degrees in her room. It's so cold. And yes, she's lived in Florida and the AC be cranking. So, when I lived with her, actually, it was, there was nice cool rooms at night. I just sleep better. I tend to heat up in the middle of the night. If you're a person that like heats up like a little furnace in the middle of the night, wakes up hot, then maybe this is something to try.
Now, let's do it. I'm all about lowering to the thermostat, or this is the powerful segue. I'm about to record an interview with the fusion scientist that created the chili pad, which is this basically little pad that goes under the mattress or under your sheet that actually controls your temperature different phases throughout the night. So it's programmed to what kind of person you are, if you're a hot sleeper or a cold sleeper, yeah. And it changes temperatures through the night to maximize your sleep potential.
That's cool.
We're going to talk to her this week and possibly get to try out the chili pad.
Wow, that's pretty cool. I know, I do know that the mattress that we bought, which is a very nice mattress, I'm not going to lie, it has, like, one of the selling points for me was that it had the cooling gel.
It does have it.
Pad in it, which it was huge difference, because regular mattresses just, like, pool the heat. So I think that cooling gel layer in the modern mattresses is a definite win. If that is like even better than the cooling gel, sounds like it is, that sounds amazing.
Yes, I think it is. And we are going to keep you updated after when I speak to her. And if we get the chili pad, we'll let you know how awesome it is.
I'm excited.
All right. So with all that said, please, guys, once again, check us out on the Facebook, the Addicted to Fitness podcast, hashtag ATF podcast challenge when you guys do your yoga or cook your meals at home. We got that recovery pack. We're just waving to give it away to somebody. So you get entry for your chance to win it.
Yes. That's it. I got nothing.
All right. So we're going to go in.
Now,
I
just really want to go try out some of this stuff.
We're going to go turn down the thermostat. We're going to get in bed and we're just going to not put the TV on. I'm woosah. Okay. Woosah. No?
He's rubbing his earlobes.
All right. You got anything else for him?
No. Good night.
This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Sweet dreams.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @theATFpodcast. And like and follow the Addicted to Fitness podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.
No, good night.
This has been another addiction. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fit. Stop, damn it. I almost got out.
This has been another addiction.